Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
At the request of our MVP, he's going to lead us in our new favorite song.
Thank you, Master!
What's up, everybody? I'm Tama Turner. It's the Mash Nag Podcast. It's Nick Engstead. He's sitting across from me.
I apologize
to
anybody with headphones on right now.
Yeah, hey, you know what? You get to hear my lovely, loud voice. Tama T, the one and the only. How's everybody doing? Nick, how you doing?
I'm good, man. It's actually fun to talk about the Mavs again.
I know, right?
I was thinking about that this week. There's so many. I mean, that stretch where they were 2-13, 5-15, whatever. That was so tough.
They didn't trust
the process. And now they did not trust the process. So now we're... now we're in a good spot. We got Nerlens Noel. We got Yogi Ferrell to be excited about. We got Harrison Barnes still. Seth Curry is playing awesome.
The youth is so exciting. It's fun. It's fun to know, be a part of, to see this youth and to really see these guys progressing. Seth Curry and Harrison Barnes, I predicted Harrison Barnes would have a breakout year. I didn't see this coming from Curry. And I love what Curry is doing. And Nerlens Noel coming here, just... he's young, he's athletic, exciting. It's a good time to be a Mavs fan right now.
And on a night-to-night basis, Mavericks players are performing really, really well. And on a night-to-night basis, you might want to decide to pick them up on your daily fantasy team.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, who doesn't like fantasy? I mean, so many different sports, basketball, football, baseball, hockey, soccer, I'm sure they have fantasy too.
FC Dallas.
And, yep, yeah. Yeah, I can say it. But it wouldn't let me come out. Anyway, for those who don't know what we're talking about Draft Daily Fantasy. That's Draft, D-R-A-F-T, capital letters. Do you play Daily Fantasy? I know I do. If so, you should be playing on Draft. Get this, your chances of winning on Draft are almost three times better than on FanDuel or on DraftKings. The data shows almost 90% of players lose on DraftKings. On FanDuel, over 40% of that money to just 1% of the players. If you're not a pro and not spending hours a day of fantasy, you should be playing on Draft. You'll win more often. It's statistically proven. So join me. Download Draft now. Just search.
Just straight Draft.
Draft. D-R-A-F-T. Capital letters, folks. Just search Draft in the App Store and it will come up first. Be sure to enter promo code ABPN. That stands for Almighty Ballers Podcast Network. When you download.
Which we are part of.
Yes, we are. And when you download it, you will get a 100% bonus when you make your deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter the promo code ABPN. I like that.
There you go. Check out Draft. And, I'd pick Seth Curry still.
You know, I'm going to change it up. I like Dirk a lot. Always will. I'm going to go with Harrison Barnes.
Okay, that's fair. So a couple of other players, former Mavericks players, have picked some teams. Andrew Bogut, Darren Williams, both going to the Cavaliers.
Yeah. Trying to win that ring again.
Trying
to get another ring, and Darren Williams trying to get it.
I never saw them talk in the locker room like ever, so I'm not sure if they're friends. I don't think that they're friends.
Can I post a picture of me and Darren Williams from a couple years ago?
Sure, why not? You can go ahead and post that.
Hey, me and Darren, farewell. Have fun, buddy.
Do you think this is a good move for the Cavs? Do you think this is a good move for Darren Williams and Andrew Bogut?
Yes, I think it's a good move because they needed a backup point guard badly.
We were talking about it.
Right, and they
a playmaker. We mentioned this to David Zavak when he was on the podcast. Do you guys want Darren Williams? You guys want Darren Williams?
Yeah.
And he was like, sure.
Yeah, and the fact that they didn't have to give up anything to get him, that they love that. And if
wish we would at least got a second round pick or something from that.
I agree there. But with Bogut, yeah, why not? I mean, I mentioned this before. I think Bogut was huge in Golden State going up 3-1 last year because of his presence. For Cleveland to have him, that's another body, a guy who can play defense. Why not take him? Absolutely. You didn't have to give up anything to get him. Absolutely.
Yeah, and Darren Williams' number, he's been 8 for his entire NBA career, and he decides to go with number 31. Tamen, do you think that's a little shade thrown at the Golden State Warriors 3-1?
No, I don't think it is because Darren
Williams.
So it's
shade if it's on a cookie at a LeBron James party, but it's not shade if it's at
Darren Williams has never been a part of that. So I know he's a part of it now.
It doesn't seem like a guy that would be a part of that.
Yeah, it
at
just
all.
I just think it's a random coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, on this podcast, we're going to be talking to Michael Lark about his journey starting with the Mavs. What are his thoughts and takes on the Mavericks? So be sure to keep listening and check that out later. Good stuff from Michael Lark. Also, we'll hear from his two dogs.
Yes, we will hear from his two dogs. They were directing their barks at me.
As soon as Taven talked, they were like, roo, 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 roo.
I understand. They didn't trust the process.
Yeah. Kevin Durant also going down with an injury. He may be out for the first round of the playoffs. So if the Mavericks, as they should do, if the Mavericks make the eighth seed, they could be playing the Golden State Warriors, probably will be playing the Golden State Warriors without Kevin Durant.
I don't like when injuries occur. I really don't. I know I have been very hard on Kevin Durant, but I do not wish injuries on players. I just don't do not like. And I hope he gets well, and not for the sake of him beating the Mavericks. I really think that even if the Mavs make the playoffs and play Golden State without Durant, I still think Golden State would win. But obviously the Mavericks, I don't want to say their chances go up significantly, but I will say that Kevin Durant not being there, if he misses the first round, it is a huge loss, no doubt about it.
And they're replacing him with Matt Barnes.
I hate Matt Barnes.
Which, if anybody remembers, 10 years ago.
Yeah, him and Jason Terry went at it.
And Matt Barnes was on the team, on the Warriors team that beat the Mavericks when they were the one, when the Mavericks were the one seed and the Warriors were the eighth seed. And their records could be pretty similar. Like the Warriors probably
they were 42-40. Mavericks were 67-15.
The Mavericks aren't going to win 40 games.
I know.
There's no way.
Anything's possible.
I guess that's true. Nerlens Noel could end up.
You sound pretty tankful, Mr. Team Playoff over there.
Just being more realistic about our win total at the end of the season. He'd have to go like 20-5 or something like that to be able to win 40 games.
They're going to buy in.
They'll buy into the process for sure.
Buy in.
Okay, so that's all happening, which is fine. Darren Williams, Andrew Bogut. Somebody was saying on our timeline that we're all going to be Mavaliers when the Cavs go to the finals because of Darren Williams, and I was like,
no.
A couple fans would tell me that their favorite player is Darren Williams, but I mean, are we all behind Darren Williams in the sense that we're going to be rooting for the Cavs just so Darren Williams can win a ring, like?
I like Darren Williams, but I'm not, you know.
I'm not like attached.
He was
to
here
him.
For 2 years. You know, it's like, am I going to be that, you know, joyful? Like, yeah, I really want Darren. I mean, if he gets a ring, good for him. But I think let's assume that it's Cavs Warriors again.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to root for anybody. I just want a good finals.
Seriously. I mean, and it's not like Jason Terry. Like, if Jason Terry, you know, right. We'd be happy for Jason Terry sure. If he won with the Bucks or wherever he went.
Right.
Rockets, maybe.
Yeah, I still would, because I still like Terry.
Yeah. And Jason Kidd, sure, we'd be like, sure. Yeah. But
if Tyson Chandler won another ring somewhere, I'd be happy. But for Darren Williams, I mean, cool, but he's not a guy I'm going to particularly miss.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't understand that sentiment. If anybody's thinking that, if you guys are thinking that, definitely tweet us at the Mavs Fanatic. Let us know if you guys are thinking about, or if you guys are all for Darren Williams and want him to win and are going to be rooting for the Cavs solely because of Darren Williams. I think that's the weird thing to me that I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't think anybody's going to be a Mavalier. If anything, if we're going to be a Mavalier, it's because we're paying Cavs fans back for the whole Cavs for Mavs things when we won the finals 6 years ago.
Which, I don't understand that. So another thing that happened this week, Paul Pierce and Draymond Green going at it.
Oh, I'm so heated about that.
And it's pretty heated. It's pretty much a beef by all accounts. And so we figured we might as well. It's not really Mavs related, but we wanted to talk about it. So here we go.
I want to thank the sports writers for this honor.
Hungry, looking for something to eat.
Looking further than the Nolan Ryan beef of the week.
I enjoyed the competition. It was indeed an honor to face you.
Beef of the week.
Okay, look, Draymond Green, you're a good player. I've liked you for a long time. I have. But I like you when you're at Michigan State. I like you when you're at Golden State. But look, you need to shut up. Seriously. Look, you're a good player, but Paul Pierce is a legend. He is a legend in Boston. He's an NBA legend. He's been a beast throughout this entire league, and he demands respect. He deserves respect. And you know why? Because there are great players, there are Hall of Famers, and there are legends. Paul Pierce is in that legendary category. What he did for the city of Boston, bringing a championship back there after so many years, after the Larry Bird years. I'm sorry, Draymond Green, you're a good player, but you are not even half the player Paul Pierce was.
You just went in it. You didn't even say what we were talking about or anything. You just went in it.
Well, let me explain, if those who don't know. It all started back in the summer when Paul Pierce said he criticized Kevin Durant for going to Golden State, which I did too. I can't blame him. I said he was a soft cupcake. Anyway, the Warriors and Clippers played the other night in Golden State.
Yeah.
And Paul Pierce was sitting on the bench and Draymond Green was yelling at him saying, "You ain't even half the player Kobe was. They ain't gonna respect you like that." Well, Paul Pierce responded on Twitter after the game saying, "Well, you know, we didn't go 73-9 and blow a 3-1 lead, throwing some shade at him." And then Draymond Green came back and said, "Well, you know, you were pretty much a bunch of nothing until Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen got there," which is absolutely wrong. That's not true. Paul Pierce was a beast and took his team to a couple of playoff appearances without a lot of talent on his team. Draymond Green, you have been blessed in Golden State. You have Steph Curry. You had Klay Thompson. You're playing behind Kevin Durant. I'm sorry, you're a good player, you're a good defensive guy, but to me, you're really nothing but more of a Trevor Ariza if you didn't have those guys playing behind you. You're a good player, but I don't see you being this great future Hall of Fame legend, so you need to show the man some respect.
Okay, fine. Draymond Green's game is trash talking, right? He's going to get in people's faces. He's going to get under people's skin. He is going to annoy people. He's an agitator. That's what he is. He's the agitator on that team. Paul Pierce is done.
Well, I think everybody knows that. That's why he's retiring.
Everybody knows it. He's retiring. He's not, you know, anything anymore in the league. It's time for him to move on. Listen. You got your piece. Let me get my piece. It's time for him to move on. And coming back on Twitter and not saying it to his face, I mean, there has to be. All the OG rules out there say don't throw shade on Twitter. Say it to my face. Doesn't Paul Pierce strike you as a guy that's like, "Say it to my face"? And he didn't. He went on Twitter and he went and bashed a guy for being able to team up and having really good teammates. What has Paul Pierce been doing? What is Paul Pierce doing right now? He joined the Clippers.
He's old.
Good teammate.
That's what old players are supposed to do. Young players in the heart of your prime, Paul Pierce didn't do that. And I don't want to hear, "Well, Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett went there." They got traded there.
Oh, but he wanted them
They got traded there. It is so much different than willingly saying, "Huh, I'm going to leave my great team who can't close it out, going 2-for-10 in the fourth quarter in game 6, and going to the team that beat me, that won 73 games, that already won a championship without me." Big difference.
Sure, we can't hold that against Draymond Green for a guy wanting to join his team and being able to because of the new CBA and way that the rules
fair
work.
Fair enough, it's not Draymond Green's fault, but Draymond Green, just because a player gets old, like Paul Pierce has, and is not the guy he used to be, doesn't mean that you can't show him some respect.
And the initial beef started out because Paul Pierce was acting like he was all that. And Draymond Green came up to him and said that you're not Kobe, which is a great trash-talking line. That's a great trash-talking line.
He's not Kobe, but Draymond Green, who the heck are you?
It's a great trash-talking line because he's right. He's not Kobe.
But Draymond Green, who are you? Who are you to say that?
Then who is Paul Pierce to come back and say it on
Twitter? Paul Pierce is at least a legendary player. Draymond Green, who are you?
All right, there we go. That's our beef. I got beef with Paul Pierce. Taman obviously has beef with Draymond Green.
And I like Draymond. I've liked him since the Michigan State days.
He's just got some weird beef with him. I don't understand. So there we go. That's what we got beef-wise. We got other Mavs stuff going on, but we're going to talk to Michael Lark right now about how he started with the Mavericks and everything like that. So enjoy talking to Michael Lark.
Welcome back here to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast. Taman Turner here along with Nick Angstead.
What's up?
And right now we're about to bring on our next guest who's part of the Mavs Fanatic family. He's actually, I like to call him the blood of Mavs Fanatic. I know Ryan is the brain, but this guy who I'm about to bring on is the blood because this guy really makes everything work. And that is Mavs Fanatic's own Michael Lark. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
What are you doing right now? Are you like chilling with Dirk?
Yeah, are you in Jerry's plane right now?
Yeah, what are you doing?
You're in Jerry's helicopter, aren't you?
Well, so here's the thing. Like, Dirk texted me about 10 minutes ago, and he said he was going to call me and talk about tonight's game. He never called back, so I don't know what's going on.
So if they lose, it's because he never got his pep talk from Michael Lark.
Right. Seriously.
No, really. I actually just got home from work. And,
seriously, if they lose, we're putting it on you.
I just got home from work, and I was just excited for you guys to call to talk Mavs.
Yeah, we got some Mavs news. So tell us, we talked with Ryan Wilson a couple of weeks ago about how Mavs Fanatic got started. Tell us how it seems like you guys are the top of it right now. You've been probably the longest standing members. I'm not sure about Damian, but how did you get started with Mavs Fanatic? What is your role now? How did that all get started?
Yeah, so I guess it was probably a little over 3 seasons ago, I reached out to Ryan Wilson, the owner of Mavs Fanatic. He's one of several Mavs blogs that I followed. And honestly, guys, I mean, I was just looking to get out there to talk Mavs with somebody. I put the idea out there about maybe starting my own blog, and I was just like, you know, that would just be so much work. Trying to put together a website and trying to learn WordPress and what if I just reach out to one of these blogs? Mavs Fanatic is one of the big ones that I follow, and I was like, you know, let's just see what happens if I reach out to them, right? And I told to reach out to Ryan and Damian at the time, and I told them, hey, you know, I wanted to cover the team. Yeah, we talked about some different things that I could do. I really brought a big social media presence to the team, and so I really started out just live tweeting games, and then I started writing a little bit with them. And, dude, ever since then, I mean, things kind of took off. I think it was probably about 6 months after I started working with Mavs Fanatic, Ryan came to me and said, hey, we got media credentials to the Mavs. Would you like to go out to the games and cover them? And I was like, yes. Let me think about that for a second. Yes, of course. Yeah. I would love to do that. And things kind of just took off from there. So I am one of two media credentialed writers for Mavs Fanatic. Nick, of course, is the other one.
What's up?
So between writing and photography and just things on social media, I just try and bring the Mavs fans' perspective to everybody out there in the Mavs world.
Well, Mike, we need your perspective on this. And this is a really... The answer, I hope you're right on this answer. I hope, because Nick is always wrong. But I need, are you on Team Tank or are you on Team Playoffs?
You know what? I'm kind of, and I hate to do this to both of you guys, but I'm really split down the middle.
What is this objective journalism card you're playing us right now?
Dude, I'm playing the young guys and see where the cards fall.
Okay, so
I get it. I would love for the team to just kind of lose out the rest of the season and get that first pick.
Sounds like team.
But
team.
I also that know like you can get that first pick or top five pick, and you can end up with some of these players like a Joel Embiid that has got that number one potential, but has been hurt the majority of his career. Like, there's not a one, you know, defined way of becoming successful in this league. And so I think, you know, if we decided to just put all our cards in and say we're not gonna go for the playoffs this season, it doesn't necessarily guarantee you, number one, a good pick. And if you end up with a good pick, that pick is going to end up with something that's going to help your team substantially in the future. But I do like the mindset, the strategy that the Mavs have finally decided to move forward with. They've decided to move on from veteran players like Deron Williams. And let's see what we got from these young players, like a New Orleans Noel and Yogi Ferrell and the new guys, Cook and Ben, and just see where your cards lie. And if these guys are good enough to bring this team to the playoffs, then so be it. That's just what the team is.
I don't know about this objective journalism card that you're trying to play us right now.
Giving us political answers and whatnot. This isn't politics.
It's like you talk to the players or something. Man, you just got to.
Yeah, what do you know that we don't know, Michael Lark?
I don't know anything more than you guys know, but I think I've figured out a little bit of pulse of the team. And definitely the way they're trending now is that it's definitely time to see how this rebuild is going to kind of manifest itself in the post-Dirk era. You know, Rick Carlisle, he's a big guy on veterans, but, you know, I think even for him, he's got to kind of, I guess, change his mindset, you know, and start thinking more about developing this team for the long term instead of just, you know, not only, you know, figuring out how to get to the playoffs this year, but trying to see you know, the next, you know, 2-3 years down the road, what this team is going to look like.
So let me ask you, do you think the Mavs will make the playoffs? I mean, they're in that race for the 8 seed, so are they going to make it or not?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm going to do a little more of some subjective journalism.
Oh my God.
I think it's really, they're going to be close. They're going to come down to that last game or two, and I think that last game is going to come down to, I think it's Memphis that they play on the road.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be, I think that's going to end up being the deciding game, and God, against Memphis, depending on where they're at in their own playoff seating.
Yeah, it might not
they
matter.
They play their starters, you know. I think it's going to be really close. I think the Mavs are going to end up finishing 8th or 9th. And if I had to put a guess on it,
you
I would
do.
Say
you have to
playoffs.
You say that again.
Was it not coming in clear, guys?
No. Nick just had to talk.
Now,
and all.
Now you're talking over him.
So if you think of it, man, that's kind of a horrible way to go about things. That's just kind of really, I mean, ideally you would like them to be like the bottom five and not in the West and not make the playoffs, but to be that close, I mean, yeah, at that point, I think you kind of want to make the playoffs, am I right?
Yeah, if you're the 9th seed, that's the worst of both worlds. Because,
bad.
I mean, right now they're sitting at the 10th lottery spot, and at that point, you're a little far out from actually getting anywhere because the odds are so low that you're going to even jump into the top three or even like even move up. But this team's too good to drop to the bottom five, and teams have gotten so bad. I mean, you look at like Phoenix isn't going anywhere. The Lakers are getting worse. The the Blazers have gotten worse. The Sacramento Kings are abhorrently worse, like so much worse than they were before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you look at the standings, I mean, the opportunity it is for them to actually drop out of, you know, the 8th, 9th seed, it's the chances are pretty slim. And, like, even look at the Orlando Pelicans, I mean, they made that trade for Boogie, and it's like, I think a lot of people thought, dude, you just throw them together and you roll out a basketball and they're going to be great. And it's like, no, it's just going to take some time for them to work things out, and things haven't exactly panned out how everybody expected.
We saw them in the AAC a couple of days ago, or I guess that was Saturday now. We're recording this on a Wednesday. And what was your initial impressions of those guys? Just curious. We were both in the building during that game.
Well, first of all, you get next to both of them. They're both huge, massive dudes. But then you look at it, I mean, you know, to me this league, it's a lot about talent, but then it's a lot about chemistry too.
Yeah.
And, you know, my initial thought when that trade went through, I mean, it's going to take some time for guys that of that nature, just so talented, used to being the cornerstones of their team, and Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, it's going to take some time to work out who's going to get the ball, who they're going to, how that offense is going to work. I mean, I think looking at them long term, of course, I would love to have Cousins and Davis on one team, but I think just, you know, it's just going to take some time for that to pan out. And you've got to, I think it's going to take a summer to kind of surround them with the right pieces for that offense to fit together.
Yeah, Anthony Davis looks like doesn't even feel like we're the same species when we stand next to each other. It's just like, holy cow.
Like,
this guy.
I don't know, did he like have like super milk when he was like a baby or something? Like, how do you get that massive?
It's like, I want to try to,
I mean.
Yeah, like I want to feed my kids that, but I'd also be worried if it could go the wrong way, you know?
So, Mike, this might be, I mean, we already know the answer to this question, but I have to get your perspective on it.
Do we
anyway.
Know the answer?
If the Mavericks make the playoffs as an 8 seed and they take on Golden State, which kind of took a turn today because of what happened with Kevin Durant, but if the Mavericks make the playoffs and take on Golden State, do they have any shot?
10-year reunion.
At finally getting the revenge of 10 years ago of the Golden State wounds and flipping it back right on them.
Well, you know what? I'll put this out there. I mean, obviously, going into a series like that, the Mavs would be a huge underdog. But if you take a look at the Kevin Durant injury, what was that last night? The hyperextended knee by Mavs' own Zaza Pachulia.
Zaza,
you're one injury away from things completely changing. You know, Zaza. So I mean, who knows? Seth Curry gets hurt. Wait, Steph Curry.
Gotta get it right.
You did it.
You know, but like you never know. But all you gotta do if you're the Dallas Mavericks is worry about making the playoffs. And once you get to the playoffs, you know what? You never know what can happen. It's an injury away. It's a bounce here or there. I mean, you look at that San Antonio series a couple years ago when Vince Carter hit that game winner at the AAC,
that was so great.
That completely changed the dynamic of that series.
Yeah, man.
I mean,
everybody expected San Antonio to sweep the Mavs, and look what they did. And you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals last year. I mean, who expected that, you know? I mean, I think even for some of these guys, I mean, they're professional basketball players, and they do this for a living. And I don't think any of these guys go in the mindset that just, hey, we're underdogs, we're just going to, you know, put our tail in between our legs and we're just not going to put any effort. You know, I think anytime you go out there, you're a professional basketball player, you think you can beat whoever's out there on a given day. And if the Mavs just take the series, you know, a game at a time, you just never know what can happen. But obviously they're going to be huge underdogs.
I mean, I remember last year the Mavericks played the Thunder, and I know the Thunder and the Warriors are two totally different teams, but the one common denominator there was that Kevin Durant was on that team, and the Mavericks were able to steal a game in Oklahoma City. Now, obviously we all remember they ultimately lost the series in five games, but if Kevin Durant is not in Golden State when these playoffs start and he can't play, I mean, like you said, does that not change the dynamic very to a large scale because he's not there and the Mavericks hope to take advantage of that?
Mike, what's your dog's name?
Yeah, sorry about that.
What's your dog's name?
Well, we have two dogs. It's George and Carlos.
George and Carlos.
They're hearing what Taman is saying here.
They do not like Kevin Durant, apparently.
They're not a
fan.
They're
not liking it.
They're not a fan.
Do what?
I said they're not a fan.
They're definitely not a fan.
That's okay. They can't go on iTunes and subscribe to the podcast, so we don't have to worry about losing.
Although, if we get two new subscribers named George and Carlos, I'm going to just be like, whoa.
Hey, you never know, man. It's possible. And I could be at work all day, and they're just, you know.
the next two followers.
They're surfing the web for awesome podcasts like you guys.
The next two followers on Twitter on Mavs Fanatic will be named George and Carlos. And their profile pics will have dogs on them.
How awesome would that be?
Right? That'd be great. Yeah, so tell us, what are your initial impressions about Nerlens Noel? What did you think when the trade happened? And after seeing him for a couple games now, what are your impressions of him?
I'm optimistic, honestly. I mean, I think you just look at the trade on paper, and it's like, wow. I mean, the Mavs basically gave up 2 second-round draft picks and Justin Anderson for Nerlens Noel, former 6th overall draft pick, and you look at that, and you're just like, wow. But, like, a part of me is always a little, like, skeptical when you get a player like that, and you feel like you didn't give up a lot because it's like, well, if we got away with a player that's supposed to be so good, it's got so much potential, then why did Philly just give him away like that? Like, I get they had a log jam at center, but it's like, okay, there has to be something up here. And, yeah, you know, the first couple games, I mean, for the Mavs, I think he looks great.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a lot of potential there. I think long-term, if he's going to play center in this league, I think he's got to definitely add some strength to his body. But, I mean, so far, I like what I see. Is he a Tyson Chandler starter kit? I think it's a little early to say something like that, but I'm optimistic about what I see with him, and I think he'd be a huge building block for this Mavs team going forward.
Completely. And we had a conversation with Max Rappaport, a 76ers writer, that we'll release in a couple days, maybe today, maybe tomorrow.
we'll figure it out.
He was talking about that, and I mean, they're kind of devastated that that they got rid of Nerlens Noel that quick, especially in keeping Jahlil Okafor, because everybody, especially on our side, a bunch of people were saying that we were going to end up with Jahlil Okafor, not Nerlens Noel. But
that's interesting, because that's what I was hearing. You know, the people that I was talking to, is that was the target for the Mavs, and then you just never know what the Mavs front office is going to do. I mean, you know, a huge shout out to them. I mean, Donnie Nelson always figures something out. You know, whether we miss out on Dwight Howard or we miss out on DeAndre Jordan, they always figure out some way to pull off deals like this, and you gotta put your hat out there to them to just be like, wow, man, this is a great trade. So, you know, we'll see what happens long term, but man, so far I love it.
You pretty much have your finger on the pulse about Mavs fans. I mean, how important do you think this trade deadline and this trade and this move was for the confidence of Mavs fans in Donnie Nelson, Mark Cuban, that whole front office?
You know, and I think it's huge because I think I saw there's an article that was out there, and I feel bad because I can't cite it right now. I don't remember what it was from, but it showed that basically, I guess, the viewership among Mavs fans and TV ratings is down 53% from this year, from last year, and just like, wow. I mean, you look at it, I mean, I'm covering the team, and it's been a difficult team to cover because there just hasn't been a lot of excitement surrounding this team. And so, you know, to kind of pull off a trade like this, I mean, you were there on Saturday against the Pelicans, Nick, and you saw the AAC was, I mean, it was completely full. You
there
know,
was life.
Fans were excited, you know. And I think, if anything, I mean, you know, the next 20 games or so, however many games we have left, I mean, it kind of gives you something to kind of, like, you know, root for and look after for these games because, I mean, the season so far has been pretty dull, so I think it's great.
Let me ask you this, Mike, because there was a report that came out that said Nerlens Noel was having issues being on time, I guess getting to the plane and whatnot. And when we talked with Max Rappaport, the 76ers writer, he had mentioned that he had that issue in Philadelphia. Do you think that will be an issue long term for the Mavericks, or do you think Carlisle and the culture and some of the veteran tier will kind of convince him to put a stop to that?
Well, you know, okay, I will say this. I was talking to a few guys, you know, on the team, and I heard that apparently for his very first workout with the Mavs, he was supposed to work out with Rick Carlisle. Apparently he was a little late to that meeting, and I don't think Rick Carlisle was too happy about that based off of some of the things I'm hearing. So then you have this report come out that he was supposed to start tonight.
Right.
And he was late. I mean, that's not a good sign. I mean, your first week or so into this, I mean, you would think you would want to make sure you're on time to things, but you know, again, he's new in town. He may not be aware of his surroundings, and he may, you know, I mean, just think about it. Life's got to be a little bit hectic for him right now. So, you know, hopefully he learns from these things, and I think he'll get it together.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't know about the traffic situation or the construction situation in Philadelphia, but in Dallas, it is just ridiculous,
horrible.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When I heard about all this stuff, it's, you know, I try and put myself in this situation and think about it. Like, if you're him, I mean, he may have had somewhat of a hint that he was going to get traded. Maybe he didn't. But, like, I mean, you're immediately, as soon as you get traded, it's like you're on a plane to Dallas. And then so for him, it's just like, I mean, you think about all the other things just logistically that he's got to work out. I mean, you got to figure out where you're living. You know, you got to get all your clothes and stuff.
Right.
Over here, I mean, there's a lot to deal with that, I guess, you know, as fans and as sports writers that we don't really necessarily think about. You know, life's got to be a little bit hectic for him right now, being in a new city, you know, and just trying to figure out his life situation is just kind of transitioning into this new process. So, you know, I guess you got to kind of be a little lenient with that. But, you know, again, he's a young player, and I think he's going to get it together.
So, Mike, are you saying that Nerlens Noel didn't trust the process?
I'm not saying that at all. Hopefully he'll buy into the process here in Dallas.
Ooh, there you go.
I like that.
I like it.
That buying into the process.
There you go. Michael Lark, he's all over the place on Twitter, Instagram. You can find him. He takes good picks. Really good picks.
He makes great picks. Great picks.
Hey, guys, I appreciate
it.
And big shout out to you guys. You guys are killing it with this podcast. For any Mavs fans that aren't out there listening to your podcast, they're crazy, number one. And number two, they've got to buy into y'all's process here with the podcast, man. That's the new motto, man. Buy in.
Like it.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys.
That was fun. That was interesting.
That was great.
Love Mike.
That was good Michael guy. Lark.
Give him. What do you give him? Something. Oh, I like that too. Well, anyway,
we'll take that. Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Yeah. Remember the Mavs. Hey, we'll get to see them against Atlanta. We'll get to see him this weekend.
Well, that's happening like right now.
Yeah. So, that'll happen. We'll see him again this weekend.
For sure. Keep checking back at MavsFanatic.com if you want to check out Michael Lark, Michael_Lark. You can check all of his pictures.
Look at all his pictures.
All of his photos. If you want to go to past episodes of this podcast, you can check the new tab on the Mavs Fanatic page with the podcast and the photos.
Buy into the process, guys.
Yeah, good stuff. Buy into the process. Don't trust it. Buy in.
Buy in.
Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.